that there's someone else behind us, and I'm looking forward to hearing the other man of God preach. I do want to say it's a joy and an honor to me to get to be once again at the Faith Baptist Church at Primrose. An honor to be once again with your pastor, Dr. Ball. It's been a blessing to me for a long time. He's one of my heroes in the faith, and I appreciate him. You've got a man of God, and you ought to treat him with a grave amount of respect. He's not God, but he's God's man. And sometimes I think that some churches get that a little mixed up, but you ought to treat him with respect. You ought not to worship him, but you ought to treat him with respect. A grave amount of respect is due to the man of God. Nobody, no office, no president, prime minister, congressman, senator, king, no monarch. There is not a president or CEO of a great corporation. There is no higher office on the face of the earth than the pastor of a local church. That's right. You ought to love your pastor. You ought to appreciate him. You ought to pray for him. I said you ought to pray for him. You ought to pray for your pastor. Now, I've got a good many of my folk with us tonight. I think there's 12 or 13 of us piled in that 8-passenger van and come down tonight, and I appreciate them coming, and they get to listen to me preach a couple of times a week, and they still made the trip an hour and 75 minutes down here, and I thought we'd never get here. This place, John said, this is where we're going to fall off the end of the world. I said, no, it's a half a mile past here. That's where the end of the world is. So by the time he said that, we pulled right up on it. And but it is a joy for us to be here. We are looking in Esther chapter 4. Everybody found the scripture in the book of Esther chapter 4. Esther's one of my favorite books of the Bible. There's a lot of Bible correctors that say it doesn't belong in the Word of God. Just shows how mixed up they are trying to fix the mind of God. I said, the Lord knows what He's doing. I realize there's a pagan king mentioned in it time and time and time again, and the name of God is never mentioned once. But the Spirit of the Lord, the providence of God, and the power of the Lord is seen all the way through the book. Thank God for His providential power with which He keeps His people safe. Amen. If you'll stand with us, we'll read the Word of the Lord. Esther chapter 4, verse 13, some of the most familiar scripture in the Bible. And all scripture should be familiar scripture if you read your Bibles the way you ought to. Amen. Ought not to be any unfamiliar scripture. Esther 4 and 13. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer, "Go gather all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. And I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so I will go unto the king, which is not according to the law. If I perish, I perish." So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. Verse 14 again, "For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then there shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place, but thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and knoweth whether thou art come into the kingdom for such a time as this." You can be seated. Thank you for standing with us here tonight. I realize the book of Esther probably, if it's preached on, the most familiar passage in the book of Esther is this phrase that's used here in the latter part of verse 14 where he said, "You're come to the kingdom, you may be come to the kingdom for such a time as this." If there's ever been a day that this message needs preaching, it's in the day in which we live now. And I want to try to preach tonight for just a little while on "for such a time as this." I want to tell you what time it was in the day in which Esther lived and how it parallels with the day and the time we're living in today. Now, I know nobody's scared and nobody's nervous. If you have to lift and listen to Dr. Ball preach every week, you ain't no use to me being scared of my preaching. But for such a time, the day and time that Esther was living in was a time not much different than the day we're living in today. I mean, they lived in a time. Let me give you a historical setting of the time she was living in. She's living in a time when a new ruler has just come into power.
3 years Ahasuerus has lived at this kingdom, and this is after the captivity of Israel, and the kingdom of Babylon has failed, and the Persians are in power, and Ahasuerus moves the kingdom to Shushan and sets up this palace there. And the Bible said in the 3rd year things began to come to pass. I want to tell you a few things about what kind of time it was. And so, yeah, Esther's actions or reactions to the day in which she lived. I'll say, first of all, it was a time of feasting. Amen. And the book of Esther can be split up into 3 feasts. And the feast of Old Ahasuerus, and the feast of Esther, and the final feast in which God's people rejoice. We'll tell you more about that later on. But Old Ahasuerus decided and pitched himself a feast. Amen. He had 127 provinces, and he called a prince from every province into the palace. And for 180 days, that's 6 solid months, they had him a party. They had him a feast. They had him a ball. Oh, man. 180 days. They boasted on how many kingdoms they'd conquered, on how many lands they'd brought in silver, over all the things that they ruled in their day. I want to tell you something, that's where the world's at today. That's where America is today. And she's a setback spending her time. Ains thinking be another. I'm thinking everything's grand. And he's in Zion. And we're a mess. And don't even know about it.
If I don't slow down, I'll be finished preaching in just a minute. Old Ahasuerus carried set out a great feast, a big party. And everybody got together and just had a ball. Now listen, after that was done, 180 days, they had 7 more days of feasting. And this time they didn't just invite all 127 princes, but they went ahead and said everybody can come. They just got the whole country in there. After the leaders got through boasting, having a fit, and having to have self a time, and just enjoying themselves, and bragging on themselves, and swelling up the chest hard enough to ride the Newman back on, they got done with their party and all this, so they called the whole country in together. Said, let's just have ourselves a time. 7 straight days after they'd already been partying for 6 months. And they got together for 7 days. This is what happened to the ball. Everybody, the Bible said, everybody came that was in the palace. Everybody in that part of that country came. Everybody in the city came. And they began to have a party. And they began to have a time. And listen, the Bible said that no man was compelled to drink. And no man was stopped from drinking. And you could just do whatever you wanted to do. And you can drink, you can not drink. You can party, you can not party. And you can fornicate, you can not fornicate. And whatever you want to do, just fine and dandy. Somebody say, man, that's the day we're living in. That's the time we're living in. They don't care what you do. You do your own thing. Just as long as you don't fall in love with Jesus, everything else will be just fine. That's it. That is it. As long as you don't fall in love with Jesus, do whatever you want, brother. Do your own thing. Hey, man, they'll say, hey, man, it's cool. I don't have a problem with that. God help. We'll just latch up with anything comes along. Oh, my. We're living in a day today where people just loved all the false religion. Yeah, you remember Jeremiah chapter 5 and 6, don't you, dealing with the sins of Israel? He said, Israel's come to the place where they can sin and don't even blush. He said, everyone, from the prophet, even to the priest, dealing falsely. And now people love to have it so. That's where the church is today. And our nation is. Folks just doing whatever they want. And people seem to want it that way. Amen. And when you say anything about it, you're a legalist, you're a Pharisee, you're some kind of old Pentecostal. I won't say fundamental people, but the preacher of the Bible and the full of Pentecostal crowd have existed. Amen. They all did as their pleasure
caused them to do. No man was compelled to do anything. Everything's great. Everything's fine. Do what you want. I'm going to tell you something. You can do anything. You listen, hear me well on this tonight. You hear me well. You can do anything you want. You can be a whoremonger, a junkie, a dope addict. You can commit any crime you want. But under God, the worst thing you can do in the day we're living in today, according to most of society, is to say what they're doing is wrong. That's exactly the way we're living. That's exactly the day that we're in. Oh, just not! Hast thou been judged, they say. Wait a minute, wait a minute. The Bible's dealing with the soul. I cannot say whether an individual is born again or not, but I can say that sin stinks in the nostrils of God, always has, always will, and it doesn't matter whether it's my family or your family, it doesn't matter whether it's the governor or the president. I said, whoever commits sin, the Bible said, whoever commits sin hath a devil, amen. That's what the Word of God said. That's exactly right. Do as you will, they say. Nobody forced to do anything. And as soon as they all got good and drunk, Ahasuerus called for his queen, his pride and joy. He called for his prized possession. You men, listen well. I'm fixing to get on you for a second. Your wife is not a sports car to be showed out. She's not an object for people to look at. I thank God the Lord gave me a pretty wife. It wouldn't have mattered what she looked like. When God gave her to me, she'd have been pretty. But God went ahead and gave me a pretty wife, and unto God, I'm glad for it. But she's mine, and she ain't yours. And you need to put your eyes in your hip pocket if you have to, and to put them in the right place. She's not an object to be paraded around. Your wife ain't either. And so she'll put on some clothes that covers up her body. They got drunk and said, bring the giant. Bring in the beauty queens. We want to look at the pretty women. Amen. I want to tell you women something. Any woman that'll parade her beauty before a drunken man is crazy. She's out of her mind. Out of her mind. Yeah, yeah. Under God, I've never understood. I have never understood. And I've seen it happen time again. Church members, people where I've pastored, Brother Billy, young ladies, raised in church all their life, go down the booze joint to try to find them a husband. Go down the honky-tonk to try to find them a man. Dance clubs and all such filthy garbage as that. Nothing but wickedness, nothing but flesh, nothing but garbage. Go down there trying to find them a man. You know what kind of man you're going to get down at the booze joint? You're going to get an alcoholic. You're going to get you a drunk, an old sorry sot drunk. He'll lay on the couch all day and drink beer and watch soap operas while you go down to Walmart and run a cash register and try to make him a living. And the young ones will never have a daddy. Your boys will grow up and be queers. Your life will be in a wreck because you went down to the booze joint to find your man. Under God, I never understood it. I have never understood it. But Vashti had better sense than her husband did. Yeah. Vashti wouldn't even come out there and parade her beauty for a bunch of drunken men. That's right. It cost her something, though. Hey, you know what happened? Oh, Vashti heard about it. Listen now. Vashti, she didn't do what Ahasuerus wanted, but she went right the opposite direction. Instead of just refusing to do what's wrong, she decided she'd correct this thing. She got a bunch of women together. They had them a hen party. They had a women's lib meeting, an ERA meeting. Say, men, my wife's here tonight. I'm not scared of preaching this. I'm not scared of preaching in my church, and I ain't scared of preaching down here. Man, it's 75 miles back to my house. I'm leaving when the meeting's over anyhow, amen. I want to tell you something, friend. God made a man, and He made a woman, and He made them different. They're not the same. Never have been and never will be.
And a woman in rebellion against her husband is a woman in rebellion against God. I've preached that ever since I got started. I started preaching when I was 13, and I hadn't quit it. Somebody said, "You get married, you'll cut that business out." I didn't do that. I married me a woman that believed that and accept that. I preach it everywhere we go. That don't bother me none. Don't bother me a lick. Hillary and all the rest of her Clintonites can love it if they want it. I still preach against it. If I had a woman like that, I'd get rid of her anyhow. Amen. Right, right. Amen. Amen. A time of feasting. They had itself a party. Everybody just did whatever they wanted to. Oh, Vashti, though, she wouldn't come and parade her beauty. And so here come to the time where King Ahasuerus, some of them said, "Well, what you need to do, King, you need to cut her head off, have her killed. We can't put up with this rebellion. Every woman in the kingdom will be rebelling against her husband next. Next thing you know, the whole village will be rebelling against her husband. She won't even see. There'll be mass rioting in the streets. We won't be able to control our wives. You better do something about this, King." And so he didn't kill her, but he took her crown, and he went to looking for another queen. I'll say it was a time of feasting. It was a time of political promotion. Amen. It came a time he was looking for a queen, and he was looking for a running mate, a vice president. And there was a man came handy to him by the name of Haman. And old Haman was a strange character. We'd probably make him a deacon in most of our churches. He's always willing to do something. He was always a glory seeker. People's always volunteering for jobs kind of bother me. They scare me, Brother Bailey. They scare me. I mean, I kind of get scared of folks that just volunteer to do stuff that nobody really wants to do because there's so much work involved in it, and they're afraid they're going to get a little power out of it. And they're hoping to be in charge somewhere so they can tell the preacher what to do and tell the church what to do. Them people kind of scares me. And we ought to be willing to do the work of God. I'm not saying that. But I kind of worry about them folks that's always wanting every job in the church and get mad if you took it away from them. I told them our church, you may not like this, but I told them our church, my folks here tonight, they'll tell you the truth. I told my church come this year at the end of our church year at church conference, we got together in our business meeting, and I made the recommendation, church approved it, we swapped nearly every officer we had other than the pastor. We turned that whole thing over. I told them, I don't want nobody thinking you're in a lifetime appointment when you get a job down at the church house. We swapped Sunday school teachers. We swapped stewards. We swapped everything we got. And thank God still hadn't appointed a deacon. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't have any deacons. Don't have any problems. Time of political promotion. Haman was made second in the kingdom. And when he did, his head swelled up like a hot air balloon. And he expected everybody to bow down to him. He expected everybody to worship him. He expected everybody to reverence him. And just about everybody did. But there's an old stubborn Jew down there that sat by the king's gate by the name of Mordecai. And every time old Haman come by, a folk could bow down to the old great Haman. Old Mordecai poked his chest out and looked toward Jerusalem and called on God. And old Haman didn't like that. A son, he hated Mordecai. And he'd done everything to him. Mordecai continued to grieve. I'm going to tell you something about Mordecai. And say on him as this preach. Mordecai wasn't as great a man as what we preach him a lot of times. Mordecai had some faults. I'm going to show you something. Everybody's human. Everybody's going to fail in a lot of areas. Mordecai had some problems. He could have avoided a lot of stuff he was already in if he had just done what he was supposed to do to start with. Now, God's people had already had a chance to go home if they wanted it. They could have already gone back to Jerusalem. But wait a minute, Jerusalem's walls were torn down. The city was in rubble. The temple was torn down to pieces. And there was nothing left. There was no prosperity in Jerusalem. There was no money down there in Jerusalem. There was no power down there in Jerusalem. But a lot of the Jews had been in captivity long enough and had been raised under the Persian Empire. And they'd come to a place of prominence in their society. They'd gotten great business deals going. Had started selling their products and selling their merchandise. And they'd gotten to be good merchants in the community and making a good
living amongst the community and had no desire to leave. And when a lot of them went back home to Jerusalem, Mordecai stayed back there in Susa and tried to make an extra buck. And if he'd just gone to the house, he should have avoided all of that to start with. Yeah. There's a lot of Christians, you say, well, I just can't hardly make it down there at my job. Oh, it's just a terrible, and I'm in such persecution, and you just don't even know what I'm going through. God help you. If you'd have got right with God 20 years ago, I'd know what you're supposed to, friend. Instead of searching for prosperity, you might not be enduring what you go through now. We can avoid a lot of trouble just by getting right with God to start with and staying right with Him and doing right for Him. I realize you're going to have tribulation, you're going to be persecuted. That's just part of being a Christian, part of being alive. But you can avoid a lot of it if you just get right with God. You can avoid a lot of stuff if you just get right with the good Lord. Oh, Mordecai. Let me say it was a time of feasting, a time of political promotion. I'll say it was a time of proper etiquette. Political correctness. Proper etiquette. There's some things you can say, and there's just a few of them you can't say. There's some things you can do, and it's just some of them you can't do. Oh, come time for him to get a new queen, he went out and rounded up every virgin in the land, brought him into the palace. And the Bible says all the maidens were kept in the palace for a year just to learn how to act for the king. The king did not see one of them until they'd already been schooled for 1 year to show them how to act in the presence of the king. But Esther was watched every day by her uncle Mordecai. This was her godfather. It was her guardian. After her parents were gone, she was an orphan. And Mordecai watched her every day. And he would go visit her and talk to her for a little bit. And the Bible said, you young people, listen. The Bible said even though Esther was in the school of the king, she acted just like she was still at home. Yes? Amen. Some of you young married couples here tonight, you used to, at the house, you couldn't wear your breeches and smoke cigarettes. And, you know, you couldn't watch about 9/10 of them TV garbage that's on the television at the house. And mom and dad straighten you out and make you come to church Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You didn't miss a night of revival. You didn't get to miss Friday night and Saturday night meetings to go down the ball game or go to a steakhouse or whatever or go to the movies. And you weren't allowed to spend your time down there at the picture show and to live like a dog and all these things. You weren't allowed to go out there and wear your bathing suit and all and go and swim in and all this business. But you done got out of the house now. And you're your own boss. Say, man, you're your own boss now. And you're in control now. You're the king of your own palace. And you quit acting like you used to act at home. As somebody says, my life, I live it like I want to. And you live it like that. And you live it backslid. Live it like you want to. But you'll live it backslid. Rebel against what mom and dad taught. Amazing to me how this many of them, I've seen them with it, the young folks just condemn it. Boy, these other people, I just can't believe. But preacher, I just cannot believe what these other folk does. Can't believe that. You, some of you young ladies, can't believe the way she's dressed. Look at her. You get out of the house and get on your own, you dress just like her. God help you. What a hypocrite. Exactly what that is. But Esther acted like she was still at home. I'll say I was raised by mom and dad. Been old time Christians all my life. Since I've left home, all my sin has done has kept stronger and deeper rooted in my heart. I was raised in the real stuff with the power of God on my home. Woo! And I want the power of God on my family. That's just like it was on my home of growing up. God, let me have a Holy Ghost theater in my living room. I just like my daddy did. Woo! Let me live like I'm still at home. Yes, hallelujah. Woo! Woo! Yes, yes, yes. backslid. Living in rebellion. You said it was a youth meeting, Brother Ball. Yes, sir, for sure. Yep, man, that's right. That's right. Yes. Some of you done got so far gone, you don't even respect mom and dad. You even go down to their house with your britches on. You even won't smoke your cigarettes on their front porch. Hey, no, that's right. Yes, yes, yes. I say, well, respect your mom and dad. And don't do what I said. But if you don't see them, don't hurt them. Amen. God help. Mama went through the jaws of death to bring you in this world. And daddy spent every dime he's ever had to get you going through school. You rebel against them. God will curse you for the rest of your life. Hey, man, that's right. Man, that's right. Exactly right. I never seen such a disrespectful age as what we're living in. People just live wicked as hell. They don't respect the preacher. They don't respect anybody. God help. God help. Living like hell and don't even care. Proper etiquette. But you know what? It's okay to do all that. But they don't like it when you say anything about it. That's the kind of day it was in Esther's day. It's okay for all of them down at the palace to do what they will. But just don't you say nothing about it. Amen. Oh, it's alternate lifestyle. I said it's sodomy, it's rebellion, it's wicked as hell, and it's reprobate. That's right. That's right. I have a problem some of these preachers want to get preaching on sodomy and want to cuss, but I'm not going to start that tonight. But I will tell you this, friend, it's wicked as hell. It's rotten. It's ungodly. It's ungodly. Call it as it is. Call it as it is. That's right. That's exactly right. It's not cohabitation. It's adultery. It's a shacking up. It's wicked. It's ungodly. Fornication, adultery, and it's wicked. I don't give a rip about the proper etiquette. Care about that. I don't ever aspire to be on NBC or CBS, no how. Yep, man. Exactly right. We're living in a day where this religious crowd, oh, that's on that Charles Stanley and Billy Graham bunch. But if you preach it straight from the Word of God and call sin by name, then you've crossed the line. God help, I said it's just as wicked. That's what it's always been. Yes, amen. Right. Right. The kind of preaching I was raised on, I ain't got away from it. I've been run off because of it, but I'm not quitting it, amen. I ain't God. Amen. Hannah Milby told me one time you wasn't really a called man of God, but you've been run off a time or two anyhow. Amen. A day and a time of proper etiquette. I'm talking about for such a time as this. Her day was not so much different than ours. Time of feasting. A time of political promotion. A time of proper etiquette. I'll say it was a time of hatred toward old time religion. Hey, man! Knew one man that still loved God, and Haman hated him. And because the one man that loved God, he wanted to kill all of God's people. There's a lot of men in the county and county to county because they can't stand Dr. Ball's preaching. I'd like to see Faith Baptist Church go down the tubes. They hate old time religion. People in Georgia don't love truth. They don't even like our name, amen. But I want to tell you something, friend. We were there and didn't need no help from them to start it. I will keep it going without them, amen. Yes, yes, yes. The pastor of First Baptist ain't never been down to my church. Don't really care if he comes. Amen. Just soon as stay at the house. Amen. That's right. Keep his NIV Bible with him. Yes. Yeah, that's right. And that old woman pastored out the First Methodist in Buckhannon can stay at the house too. Yes. Out of the will of God, out of the will of God. They don't want to see that church survive down there in Birmingham, Georgia. They'd just soon see her go down the tubes. I got news for them. I hooked up with Jesus a long time ago, and I'm going through. I'm going through with or without them. I'm going through. I'm going to heaven if they die and go to hell. I'm going to heaven anyhow. I'm not depending on them to get me to glory. I'm not depending on them to keep my church alive. Thank God. I'm going to heaven with or without them. Amen. We're going to home. We're going to live for God. If anybody ever gets saved or not, we're still going to live for the Lord. And when they get them in, I told them I hadn't baptized the biggest number of all the great evangelists in the world since I've been in ministry. But the ball I counted up, though, out of about 45 or 50 I've baptized over the last 9 or 10 years, I've got about 3 or 4 that's not in church now for the Lord. Amen. I want to tell you something. Ain't nothing I've done, but I ain't about to lay my hands on somebody and baptize them after them walking down the aisle chewing bubble gum wanting to sign a card and going to church, friend. I'm going to have to see some evidence of somebody got a hold of God, or I'm going the baptismal pool. That's right. They baptize them so quick before they even get out the door because they know it's the last time they'll ever see them. The world wants it that away. I can go down there to that church. I can sign my card. But all I can do is get the baptismal certificate on the wall. They don't expect anything out of me. I can live like a dog and do what I want to. And someday we'll see it's been worth every mile. It don't worry about that, friend. If you get it, you'll get out of sin and change your life. Hallelujah. If I didn't get enough to get me out of sin, if I didn't get enough to get me out of the Lord, if I didn't get enough to get me in church, I got enough to get me in heaven. Amen. Yes. You didn't get enough to get out of sin because you didn't get none. Right. And the world likes to get just enough religion to go to hell happy. They want just enough religion to go to hell happy. I don't know who's preaching next, but I'm feeling pretty good right now. Hatred toward old time religion. Haman wanted to kill all of them. Kill them all. So he comes up with a plan. He devises a plan, brilliantly conceived and flawlessly executed, he thought. He got the king's ring. They sent out a decree that all the Jews in the land would be killed, for he told the king, so they're rebelling against you, so it ain't going to be long. They're going to try to take this kingdom over. The Jews wait and see. Now listen, I want to tell you something. Christians in today's world, they won't talk about us trying to take anything over. We ain't even got control of the church, much less the government. We're even weaker than the Jews were in this day. That's the truth. And old Haman said, let's kill them all. They set a date and said, such and such a day, it's going to come down and every Jew in the land will be killed. And all Haman really wanted was Mordecai. But because Mordecai was a member of that group, he wanted to just kill them all. Kill them all. And so Mordecai got bothered about this thing. He put on sackcloth and ashes, began to get on his face before God, call on the Lord, pray and seek the face of God to try to get some help from the Lord. I said it was a time of feasting, a time of political promotion, a time of proper etiquette, a time of hatred toward old-time religion. I'll say it was a time of spiritual apathy, a time when people just didn't care about old-time religion. Is that not our day? I mean, here it is, all the Jews fixing to be killed. Esther has been selected as the queen. And Esther's in there fixing her hair and primping in the mirror, and she don't even know she's got a death sentence passed on her. That's what churches are today. God's people that used to be old school and old time. It said somewhere right about the colors on their pews, and a death sentence passed on their people and on their kind of worship. The average church member in an old-time church don't even know what's going on in our world. Don't even realize they're under attack from this society. They don't even know who the name of their congressman and senator is. Don't vote. Don't seek the face of God before they do vote. Walk a party line somewhere if they do go get politically involved. Right. I know some of you don't like it. I've been told to keep politics out of the pulpit. I said, I always have. All I do is preach against sin. The Bible said, no, do good and do it, and not to him it's sin. You know it's right, and you know you ought to be exercising your right and your privilege to vote, and you ought to get out there and try to promote the things of God, but, and you don't do it, and it's a sin. It's a sin. That's truth. That's the truth. No apologies for it. It's the truth. Spiritual apathy. Folk just flat don't care. Flat do not care. You got about, hey, and you probably got as good a ratio as I do. I got a good ratio. I probably got 25% of my church members that loves God, that really loves the church, really sold out the Lord. And that's about the best ratio I know. You can't, most of these churches don't even get 30% there on Sunday morning worship of their membership roll. We fix that. Them that just don't come, we just take them off membership roll. What? Yes, sorry. I said it's not your right to be a member of the church. It's a privilege to be a part of the greatest organism that God has established, the local church. Yes, yes, yes. The church don't need me. God doesn't need me. I need the church, and I need Him. That's right. That's right. Spiritual apathy. Folks just don't even give a rip what happened to the church. They don't care. They don't give a rip at all. Esther was concerned about her hair while God's people were dying. But she was awakened when it realized that she would die too. Maybe some of you tonight needs to open your eyes and see if the church goes, your family's going too. And if the old time church falls apart, if men of God don't get the opportunity to stand where they need to preach and preach the Word of God, it could be your family, your children, your brothers, your sisters, your family that split hell wide open as a result, and the blood will be dripping from your hand come Judgment Day because of your do-nothing attitude. Apathy, don't care. God help us. But when she realized it meant her family, she got to work. And I'm going to tell you what you need to do tonight. You get to work to save old-time religion. The Bible said the Lord just might have sent him there for such a time as this. In this day, no different than hers. In this day, God has put this little group down here at Faith Baptist Church Primrose for such a time as this. He sent you down here for such a time as this. Hey, God wasn't wondering what was going to happen in 1998 in October. He knew before it was ever created, in the foreordained counsels of God, and God looked down through the annals of time and saw a group under a tent on the 17th of October, and He sent this particular man down here for such a time as this. Take your place. Take action tonight. Follow God's will and do what the Lord will have tonight. You're not here by accident. It's under the providence of God. It's under the providence of God. It's not an accident. No people's not down here in this place by accident. God set up. God established it. God ordained it. Woo! And God will carry it through. And providential hand of God is working down here in Georgia just like it was in Shushan. Amen. And God preserve His remnant. Amen. God's going to preserve His remnant. Hallelujah. He always has preserved His remnant, and He always will. There'll be a remnant left. And that first self-righteous bunch can go their way and I'll go mine. But under God, I'm glad I got an old-time religion. I'm glad I got the old-time stuff. I'm glad that Benny Hinn, Kenneth Copeland crowd don't fool me. Yes, man. Christian TV, my foot. I just seem to be watching HBO. Yes, man. Paul and Jan Bunch. Oh, painted up, look like a porcelain doll. Under God. That's right. That's right. Well, that stuff's wicked, son. You better stay away from that mess. out of corruption, perverts your mind and your sense of spirituality and reality. Had a man told me last night that he had a stinking camouflage light on his arm and crawled across it while he was sitting, hand on his right hand, and sit there and petted the thing. And he said he knowed what it was. He said it was an angel from God. I said unto God, if it had been an angel, it had been a dead angel. He lied on me. Amen. I said unto God, that ain't in the Bible. Help us to see God for what He is. It's not signs and wonders. It's the glory of God in heaven that changes lives in a great way. Yes, yes. It's not about cancer and headaches. It's about heaven and hell. Yes! Amen! Yes! Help yourself, Brother Paul. Hallelujah! Yes! I'm sure I need some help right now. Woo! She took action. But notice what she did first. She said, get them all together, Mordecai, and have everybody pray. And said, for 3 days, day and night, I want you praying and fasting. And said, me and all my maidens are going to... You know, I like that. There's a lot of folks who want to preach prayer and fasting to everybody else and don't know it, never do it themselves. Amen. Amen. You can probably tell from looking at me at the last time you've seen me, I hadn't been doing as much prayer and fasting as what I ought to do. I'm telling you what. We're going to preach it, boys. We ought to do it. 3 days they prayed and fasted. And you know what she was waiting to do, Brother Billy? She was waiting to go into the king's throne room. But she knew if she went in, she could be killed going in unannounced. But if she went in and the king lended the golden scepter, that grace unto her, she could go forward and make her petition known, and whatever she asked would be granted unto her. And so here she is. She's going in before the king. 3 days she spends in prayer and fasting. And on the on the third day she goes in with the king's ass. I want to tell you something here tonight. It's because of what happened on the third day that we have access unto the throne room of grace. Woo! I said, thank God. It's the resurrection of Jesus that makes the throne room of grace accessible unto God's people. Woo! Hallelujah! The third day makes God's throne room accessible unto us. And on the third day, she went in, not really knowing what had happened, but grace was extended as the golden scepter was let forth. Unto God bless the name of the Lord. For the day that I entered the throne room of grace, and the golden scepter of heaven laid it down, and looked, it wasn't nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on Calvary. And even though I deserve to die, Brother Billy, God, the King of all heaven, had mercy on me when I was in hell and my neck broke. I was under a sentence of death just like the Jews. I deserve to go to hell. But God, woo, down the scepter. Hallelujah. I extended grace unto me. And let the Holy Ghost in my heart. Happy day when He came in my heart and changed me forever. Woo! Glory unto His name forevermore. She made a request of Him. She, and I gotta hurry. I'm gonna die if I don't. She made a request of Him. He said, what do you want, Esther? I'll give you anything that you want. She said, I want to dine with you. I want to fix your supper. And I want you to come eat with me. And I just want to be with you. Just want to spend some time with you. I just want a fellowship. I want to romance you just a little bit. And she said, matter of fact, you can even bring Haman with you if you want to. You know what? She got him down there and she said, they ate and had a fine meal Ain't no doubt she put on her finest clothes. And she put it up just as good as what she could. And she sat down. They had a fine meal. And they romanced one another. They said there's no Haman with his chest swelled up. Not even realize he was like old fattening pig waiting for Christmas dinner. And old King, he looked over at Esther and says, "Now, Esther, what is it you want from me?" And she said, "I want you to come back and meet with me again tomorrow night." He said, "All right, that's not a problem. Any of you men that knows what it's like to sit down as a good meal that your wife eats for you and her just sit there and have everything. I do that every meal. I do that every meal. Just sit down, let her get everything. She sets it right down in front of me and I eat it and I get up and we go. I go sit down on the couch and he tells his wife, says, "I'm the most important man around here." So did you know I ate with a king and queen today? You wouldn't believe what I've done. I have been. I know something big's fixing to come up for me. So I hope they hurry and get that gallows fixed out there. We're gonna hang on Mordecai on. I'm gonna get everything I want for long. I may just be the next king of this outfit. He may just bypass his boy and give the kingdom to me. But I'm really hitting on up high on that king's list right now. Yeah. And old Haman, they go back to the next meal. And she sits down. Listen, at the next meal is where she starts to make her request. Point I'm trying to make to you, before we go to asking a bunch of stuff from God and giving Him our wish list, we ought to romance with the precious Holy Ghost for a little while. We ought to fellowship in the goodness of God for a little bit. Hey, I like good old time preaching. Let's preach against sin, rail against everything, fine with me. It don't matter to me what a man preaches on. We ought not to ever lose sight of just turning loose and shouting over the goodness of God and worshiping in the grace of the Lord and enjoying the pleasures of being saved. Before we go to asking of God, we ought to praise Him for what He's already done. Yes. But that night, she did. She asked Him, she said, "We've got a problem." She said, "Somebody is trying to kill. Somebody is trying to kill my people. Trying to kill my people." And he flew off the handle. He said, "Who is this person? Who is the one that wants to kill you and your family?" That's her sitting right across the table, she says. "That old Haman." That's right. The king got so mad out of it, he stomped out the room. He couldn't even do nothing, he was so mad. He stomped out the room and went outside in the garden. And old Esther, she got up from the table, went in there to the bedroom, laid down, started to take a nap. She wasn't worried no more. She'd done seen the light. Oh, Haman come in there and try to reason with her, get her to, you know, say something to the king. "Save my hide. He's going to kill me." And what he didn't know is he's just making a bigger mess for himself. Old king come in there and saw Haman laying on that bed trying to talk to Esther. And he really got blown up about it then. And I don't blame him one little bit. He took and killed him. Hanged him on the same hangman loose where he was going to kill old Mordecai. He rescinded the judgment of God on his people. And oh yeah, I forgot just one little part. Before this all come to pass, couldn't sleep one night. Asked him, said, "Read me the Chronicles." They come down and read the point where Mordecai saved his life and a couple of guys going to kill the king. Now, boy, I'm jumping over a lot now. I really am. He got down to the point though and he said, "Who was this man?" They said, "That was Mordecai, that old Jew out there." He called in old Haman before he ever hung. He said, "What would you do for a man that did everything you can imagine good for the king, that saved his life, that did more for him, that was respected for him above anyone else in the kingdom?" Well, Haman says, "Whoa, I'm going to get to do something fancy. The king's sure enough in favor of me now." He said, "I'd give him the king's robe. I'd put the king's ring on his finger. I'd give him the royal horse. I'd put him in the middle of town square. And I'd have him paraded right down the middle of town. And there'd be a man, a servant of the king out in front saying, 'This is the servant of the king. The king adores him above everybody else.'" And he said, "All right, go call Mordecai and bring him here. And let's do it for him." And said, "Matter of fact, Haman, when you get that horse, you stand down in front of him, lead that horse down through town. And you point up at old Mordecai and say, 'This is a man the king adores above everybody else in town.'" Hey, one of these days, the Golden Street Parade is going to take place. And God's going to parade the old time church down through the streets of heaven. Hey! And all of hell's going to have to listen to the angels say, this is the one that God adores. Hallelujah to God. You stay faithful. Say on this thing. God didn't put you here by accident. You're put here for such a time as this. It's by the providence of God that you're here tonight. You see, I've got to believe that. Brother Ball, I've got to. I have to. I have to believe that God put me here for such a time as this. For I believe with all my heart that God called me to preach. It was not a choice and it's not a career. It's a calling. I believe with all my heart that God placed me in my church. And if God did it, He didn't do it by accident. And He didn't make a mistake. The Lord put me where I am for such a time as this. And listen, you're here tonight. I'm here at Faith Baptist Church Primrose, not by accident, but by the providence of God. Christians don't believe in accidents. We believe in providence. Amen. And I'm here tonight for such a day and time as this. And you've got a purpose where you are and what you're doing for Jesus for such a time as this. Sail out and go all the way for God. Quit sitting in the palace somewhere printing. Quit just enjoying all the good of the land and start getting out there and doing something for Jesus. Do something profitable to try to win souls. Stand in the battle and fight the fight of faith to try to save old-time religion. What you've got here you can't get just anywhere. You better do all you can to preserve it, friend. Man, you better sell out and keep it as long as what you can, because the devil would like to take it away from you. Amen. Somebody said, oh, the Lord take care of all that. And how come did He tell the church in Revelation to hold fast that which thou hast? How come He'd do that? I tell you why He done it. Because God ain't letting go of us. There's a lot of times we let go of what He's got. We let go of His premises, His precepts. We let go of the Bible teachings. There's a lot of people that used to stand for God that today wouldn't know Him in the middle of the road with a name tag on. That's right. You can lose it just... Matter of fact, you can lose it a whole lot easier than you got it. Don't you give up on old-time religion. Don't you get mad at the man of God. Don't you dare do that. I believe God cursed people. Preach man of God wrong. I sure do. And He ought to. He ought to. That's right. That's right. Not an accident. You're here for such a time as this. By the providential hand of God. We too face such a time as did Esther. We must be strong. Good courage. God's put us here for such a time as this. Would it be pleasing to give altar call, Brother Billy? Come with a song, please. There's somebody here tonight. You've been searching for the will of God in your life, maybe. I'm not a prophesying over you. I just know crowds well enough to know that. I know crowds well enough to know that when you get a group of people together, you've got more than three or four. There's somebody searching for the will of God. People today are so far away from what the Lord wants them to do and are so mixed up. It's hard to find a group of people that really knows their direction.
You got that right.
There may be somebody here tonight. You don't really know what the Lord's wanting you to do. They may be somebody God's put to call the ministry on your life. They may be somebody here that's unsaved. You've never been born again. You need to come get in touch with the Lord right here tonight. You need to call on God. Maybe there's somebody here, you just don't know what the direction of your life's supposed to be. You don't know what's next for you. You don't know what God's got planned for you. You need to come tonight. Get in touch with God. I'd get in sackcloth and ashes and call on God, fast and pray, do what it takes. Hey, somebody here concerned about your church, concerned about your community, concerned about your pastor. You want to find your way to this altar tonight and call on God on behalf of old-time religion. You're concerned about the shape of the old-time, old-fashioned churches in this world. You want to call on God. God may have put you here to pray the prayer you're going to pray tonight. The Lord knows what's going on. God knew every person going to be here tonight, Brother Billy. He knew every one of them going to come to the altar. That's right. He lets us do what we will, but He knows what we will. You come tonight if you need to call on God. You need to speak to the Lord. You need to talk to God. And meet Him in prayer. Come tonight. Come tonight. God help us tonight.
warfare set out against the church. God's looking for somebody to stand in the gap on behalf of His people. Will you be the one tonight? Will you be the one? God, help us to stand.